coming up here, and I got good directions on operating this thing. Well, if you'd like to follow along, we invite you to do that. We've spoke about many different things, and it was good to see people hugging and shaking hands, and some even brave enough to take their masks off with, I don't have any trouble with that whatsoever. I don't know what to believe about all of this stuff. I don't know what I want here. I know what I want not here, but that's a different thing. But pray for our nation, pray for our country. Pray for God's people everywhere. Sure do need it. It's such a confusing time for God's people, confusing time for the churches. Churches have tried. You're not recording yet, are you? I'll try not to breathe so hard into this mic. Churches have had to adjust their schedules. They've had to make changes that in my lifetime I didn't think I would ever see a time like this. But God's still on His throne. God is still able. God still has a reason for His people to still be here. If not, He would already have came and brought us out of this world. We're thankful for the Lord that He's in control. He's in charge of everything. And there are lots and lots of messages. You know, you get an invitation to come and preach somewhere that you've never been before and say, what in the world are you going to preach to a people in a church that have been established for so many years? What are you going to preach? And you just sort of ask yourself questions like that and think, well, wonder how they would feel about just hearing the Word of God. And that's about the time somebody slaps me in the back of the head and say, that's exactly what we all need to hear is the Word of God. And I don't bring anything new. I preached a word that is old as God Himself. If God has an age, He spoke it. It's all inspired of God. I truly believe that with all of my heart. It's the only word that is not tainted by sin, by mankind, by evil thoughts. That's the only word that God's people, our nation, and especially those that have been chosen to lead us by God's permissive will, that He might change their hearts and our nation might be blessed. We want to ask you if you would. We do encourage people to follow along and see where we're going to, but the book of Revelation and chapter 2, the book of Revelation and chapter 2. And I just want to read first four verses. With so much going on, so many people, so much, as we've mentioned, confusion and everything, so much evil in our land, it's on every side. We don't live in a day anymore, and I'm sure everybody can remember it. You used to be able to go to bed at night with your windows up and your doors unlocked, everything like that, but you sure can't do that anymore. And it's a time when God's people need to really wonder and pray and ponder on the things of the Lord. And when we get through wondering and praying and pondering, stay with the Word of God. Don't change. Don't try to find something better than the Word of God. Say, well, I like to use references and I like to use other people's opinions. That's fine. But folks, God's Word is true. God's Word is final. God's Word will have its say in the end, just like it does now. All things, people say, well, God has lost control. I don't believe that. God don't know what's going on. God knows exactly what's going on. Mankind don't know what's going on. What's happening in front of us is what God says is going to happen all down through the Scriptures. We're living in the end time. Brother Charles Lybrook, I'm sure you all know him. Brother Charles Lybrook, he preached a message one time about this is the last days. And instead of God's people hunkering down in a corner and being afraid and being apprehensive about the things of God, we should be excited. We live in an age, folks. You know, the church age, I believe, could come to an end at any time. I really do. Well, do you have scriptures? For there's all kinds of scriptures for it, folks. But I believe it's we live in a time where the Lord could just come back and snatch us away right now. Nothing to prevent Him. Other than some more people that He's going to save, call unto Himself, I don't know if there's any other things predicted in the Word of God that needs to happen before He comes back. I really don't. But I do know this, He's still got people that He's going to save. He's got people that He has called from eternity past that He's going to save. I believe, folks, we're a God-called people. I believe the church is a body, a local body, of baptized believers. That's what I believe about the church. And the church is supposed to continue on in the things, just like Timothy, when he was taught of his mother and grandmother. I love mothers and grandmothers, I really do. When he was taught by Lois and Eunice the things of God. And he said, from a youth, you've known the Scriptures. And from a youth, you have heard them. And from a youth, and just keep serving. And he did. That's what I believe about God's Word, God's people, and God's church, and the Word of God. How important it is for us to know the Word of God in the day and time that we live. In Revelation chapter 1, or chapter 2 and verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works and thy and how and that has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have thy first love. And you know, a lot of people have different opinions about what that first love is. And some of them may be valid. But I believe and all the churches, you know, all the churches that he's addressed here in the book of Revelation, all of those churches, folks, he had someone against all of them. You know, a sinner saved by grace, people say, oh, that's a terrible thing to say about God's people. Look, folks, that's a pretty good title. Now, that's a pretty good position, sinner saved by grace. We know that we've sinned against God. We know that God's Word teaches us not to sin. We know that God's Word tells us what to think on. You know, we think on a lot of things. But God says, think on those things that are pure and just and honest and true. And He just goes on and on and on. And I don't know of a more offensive word than the Word of God. Boy, it's a convicting word, isn't it? It's amazing how when we... I was telling your pastor a while ago, he was talking about forgetting stuff. I tell people I never forget that. I never forget anything, and then turn right around and say, Lord, forgive me for saying that little lie. Because that just wasn't true. I do forget. And we forget sometimes. And of course, we don't want to forget to the point where God's Word don't mean anything to us. We forget a lot. God tells us not to forget His Word. You see, folks, we have one in here that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He left, He said, I'm going to send you a comforter. And He said, that comforter, that Spirit of God, is going to lead you into all truth. And that Spirit of God will convict you. It will convict you as a child of God. And I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit today, folks. You know, a lot of Baptists, you know, now, preacher, don't you go talking about the Holy Ghost and stuff like that. You know, people get afraid about talking stuff like that. Look, folks, the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Ghost is what stirs our heart when it comes to the Word of God. After all, it stirred your heart to salvation. Our God and our Savior and the apostles and everyone called by God, all the angels, God preached to us how that Christ would come. And folks, Isaiah, book of Isaiah, well, you can go all the way back to Genesis and see where that's predicted. See where it's prophesied. And Isaiah, he just says, this is what Christ is going to do. And people heard that stuff, and how ridiculous is that? You see, folks, we're at a real advantage in the day and time that we live. Because we're able, by the working of the Holy Spirit, because God's word, there is no. And when it comes to the gospel, the Apostle Paul, he says, first of all, I want to share with you that which I received. How that Christ died for our sin according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, the first three or four verses. That's what Christ did. And those few words, folks, did you ever maybe think about it in this way? How God can take so few words that's contained in the gospel and bring dead things to life. Just bring dead things to life. Me, and say, now don't talk about the people here. Me and my wife and y'all people. When God saved you by His grace, folks, He brought a dead thing to life. He did. He brought a dead thing to life. We were spiritually dead. And God saved us by His grace through the preaching of the gospel. Yeah, that gospel has got to go forth, folks. It really does. God's people need to preach the gospel. Nobody will be saved except the gospel be preached. Oh, what a responsibility. But this church at Ephesus, folks, God says, I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. The word stopped meaning a whole lot to them. The word stopped, they wouldn't allow the word to work in their lives and their heart and more so their church. Say, preacher, look here. Look who's here other than the ones that are sick and suffering and those that are traveling. And the cream of the crop is here. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all of my heart. The cream of the crop is here, folks. They'll always be here. And if they're not able to be here, they'll be here in prayer. And they'll have the church on their mind. But when we forget what God tells us about what we're supposed to love, folks, the church is a precious thing in the eyes of a holy and a righteous God and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it should be just a greater thing in our eyes as it is theirs. Should be just the greater thing in our lives too. The church is a place of fellowship where God's people gather one by one. They gather together in love. I saw people hugging back there. There were tears of sorrow because someone had lost a loved one. And there were tears of joy because they knew where they were. Let me tell you, there's not many words, there's not many places you can go, folks, to find comfort as this word gives comfort in all things. My daddy always said, it don't seem right for a mom or a dad to see their children pass from this earth. It don't seem right in our eyes. But every time, I like the scripture, the psalmist, he says over there, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. And you know, I pondered on that for so many years. I said, but Lord, that hurts so bad. That hurts so hard. That hurts so much to lose a loved one. But I believe, and I use that scripture at funerals a lot. I believe every child of God that he takes home, it just makes heaven a little more complete. That's what I believe. Folks, that is our hope. That's our hope. You know where it came from? Somebody, folks, taking their call of God to go preach the gospel. And look, you don't have to be a preacher to preach the gospel. You know, a church member, they can preach the gospel. A church member can visit the sick. A church member can teach in the church, you know, and all that kind of stuff. They can do. Church members can do a lot of things. We get real apprehensive. Can you teach a class? Oh, I don't know. You've got better speakers than me. I'll tell you, I'm sort of like the Apostle Paul, you know. I just can't talk very well. We're talking about where I was from. I was born in Columbus, Ohio, but the Lord forgave me for that. And moved to Kentucky when I was almost 4 years old. No, I was just kidding about that. Moved to Kentucky when I was 4 years old and been there ever since. Been there ever since. Worked there, went to school there, graduated there, left for the military there, came home and went back to there, and been there ever since. Talk about where we're from. Folks, we have been given a position from God in this church and the church that I belong to. He's given me a position, a place, a job. A lot of people want that until the responsibility comes. Then they don't want the responsibility. I wear the title. I like to sin or save by grace. I like to be called God's people. But the responsibility, you know, that's a little much. Folks, pray about those things. Pray about those things. God has not lost control. God is still in charge of all things, and that includes the lives of His people. I believe we belong to God, just like the song says, now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but through eternity. That's who we are. We are eternal, saved by God, people. This church, church at Ephesus, and you know Paul's preachings to the church at Ephesus. You know, they are in a lot of people's eyes. They're really simple, but the Lord had somewhat against them. And you hear a lot of messages about Ephesians in chapter two, and starting with verse 8, about how we're saved by God's grace. Not of ourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We had nothing to do with our salvation, folks. God used the gospel to pierce our hearts, called us unto Himself by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, made us one of His own. That's how we were saved. And you know what? God never loses any of His people. He doesn't. He promised us a shepherd, folks, and we have one. You know, I probably, before I get out of here today, I'll probably read Psalm chapter 23. I have pondered on that so much. Folks, do you realize, and you know, I'm trying to realize myself, we ought to try to realize and read that, how complete a Savior that we have in Christ Jesus. I mean, folks, God's people, they want for nothing. We don't have to anyway. We want stuff, but that's not what the psalmist was talking about. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. Folks, we don't have to worry about any of our needs. God will meet them. And if you read those few verses in that chapter and you wonder, do I really think that way about my Lord and my Savior? Do I really believe that in the presence of our enemies, He's going to prepare a table for them? Well, what's that all about? To show us, folks, or to show them more so than us, that He's our God. He's going to care for us. Boy, and we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'll tell you, there's nothing better than that. And it starts with Jesus Christ. It starts with the Son of God. That chapter should mean so much to us as God's people. In Ephesians 2 and verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them." God has ordained that His people walk in the good works of Christ. Say, how do we do that in the day and time that we live? You know, those people, they were just seemed like they were so ancient back then and all of that. Folks, it doesn't make any difference. They had the same needs that we had. First of all, we needed to be saved. They needed a Savior. They needed a God. And God in His power and God in His glory, as He blessed Israel in the days of Egypt. Those things happened to Egypt, folks. God says to show them that there is a God in Israel. All of those plagues. We're not the first one to experience a plague, are we? We're not. It's not the first terrible thing that's happened. It's probably the most blown out of proportion thing that's ever happened. But it's not the first plague that's ever hit God's people or where we live or where we work. It's not the first thing. But God's going to work, folks, to show His people who He is. God is going to work according to His word to let us know we can have complete confidence in everything that God says. Mark it down. And when God told Israel not to remove the old landmarks, people say, "Oh yeah, you can get in big trouble for cutting down a landmark tree or a corner tree or a fence marker or something like that." He sort of referring to that. But you know what makes Baptist a Baptist? You know, folks, I love Baptist people. I just do. And say, well, you're supposed to love Church of Christ, you know. You're supposed to love the Pentecostals. You're supposed to. Well, we do. We should love them enough to present the gospel to them and hope and pray that they're saved. And I'm not saying everybody that says they're a Baptist is going to go to heaven either. I believe there are going to be a lot and lots of professing Baptist folks, as bad as I hate to say it, cast right into a devil's hell. I say, that is really judgmental. You just don't have any right to say that. Folks, the Lord Jesus told the church at Ephesus, there are apostles that are not apostles. And they weasel their way into the churches. They weasel their way into lives of God's people. They weasel their way into the things that cause God's people the most joy. Did you ever notice that when you're rejoicing to high heaven, how the devil just seems to be able to just drive a wedge between you and your joy, you and your peace, you and your comfort. He just seems to survive and just go on, just seem like unchecked and everything else. Lord knows all about him. Lord knows all about him, where he is, whose hearts he's in. The bitterness that's caused in the hearts of God's people, you know. That bitterness, that root of bitterness. We had a missionary in South America, folks, come to Siloam one time, and he preached on the bitterness, the root of bitterness. And I was so intrigued with that message. How that root of bitterness as soon as it takes root, it starts causing heartache and problems, and it causes hatred and emulations. It causes so much, and what happens when we don't snap that root of bitterness out, folks? It just keeps growing, You know, you know the mustard seed, the parable of the mustard seed. You put one little seed in the ground, it grows into a big old tree. Well, so will that root of bitterness, folks, if you're not careful. That root of bitterness will find its way into every part of your life. And it will cause us to judge unrighteously. It will cause us to see things in an ungodly manner. It will cause us, folks, to see things that we're not supposed to see according to the Scripture. I spoke about the Word of God. I can say I believe it's inspired of God. I believe it's a holy Word. It's God-breathed, God-spoke. I believe the ones that He chose to pen it down, folks, and also the ones that He chose to to translate it into this King James Version, I believe it's a completed word as we ever need. I really do. You know, John, he said, I'm thankful that you even allow me to handle this word. Do you know, folks, everybody don't know the word of God. See, yeah, but preacher, have you heard people be able to not even open their Bible and quote scripture just one word after another and never miss a thing, never miss... I know some people like that. Good godly men like that. But I also know some people, folks, that can do that. They don't believe a word of it. They don't believe a word of it. Don't believe it's God-breathed. Don't believe it has the effect that God says it does. Don't believe it can work the way it's supposed to work. They don't believe a word of it. God says those people have weaseled their way into the churches, and they have started a root of bitterness in a lot of people. See, folks, they come there already with that tree of bitterness just a blooming and blossoming out, wanting to cause so much trouble in the church. Don't let it happen. Don't. It would be nice if it'd be great, as a matter of fact, if our churches could say, Lord, don't have anything against us, because He sure did have against a lot of them, and good faithful churches too. Good faithful churches. He had somewhat against them, which means, folks, there's always room for improvement as God's people. There's always room for us to live a more godly, close life. There's always room for us to love the ones we're supposed to love the way we're supposed to love them. And there's always a way for us to improve our love for God and His Word. There's a better way, folks, than what a lot of people are searching for in the day and time that we live. And He said in verse 11, wherefore remember. That's a key word. Remember. Therefore remember, Paul says. And folks, look, he's preaching to a church. He's preaching to a church, and people say, you know, we have preachers come here and they preach the gospel. They give an invitation at the end of the church. Don't they know we're church members here? Don't they know we're saved by the grace of God? That's not even the point. That's not the point. The point is, folks, only God knows hearts. That's why I give an invitation at the end of every message that I preach. I give an invitation at the end of every message. People say, well, that could get a little boring if you do that three or four times a week, stand before church and give an invitation. That's okay. When I was a kid, I couldn't wait to get out of church. You mean your mom made you go to church? That was part of our life, folks. That was part of our life. It was just as much a part of our life as going to school, learning how to get up and go to work. We had to know to get up Sunday morning and get ready and go to church. Sunday and Wednesday night, the very same thing. We were taught that. That's what it's supposed to be. God's people should not forsake the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is. And for sure, folks, we live in a day and time where I am supposed to encourage you. You're supposed to encourage one another to be in the Lord's services. And say, preacher, it's just not possible 100% of the time. We need to make it a part of our life. Everything that we can do to be in the Lord's house when God's people gather together. Exhort one another, even so much the more. The Lord could come back today, folks, and take us all out of this pain and all out of this misery, all out of this confusion. Everything else, He's going to turn it all over to the devil, folks. Going to be such a time. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want my family to be part of that. And that's one of the reasons I'm saying we're supposed to say, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus, even so come. Well, I've got some family members, folks. I'd sure like to see the Lord save them by His grace. I don't want to see them go through that. I don't want any of my family to die without Christ. See, I've got a lot of family members that believe in a God of love. Well, don't you, preacher? I sure enough do. And I tell you one thing. You and I that are saved by the grace of God, we know about that God of love because He saved us by His grace. Didn't deserve it, didn't work for it. Couldn't qualify for it in any way of my own, but I sure do know that God of love. But the God of wrath, they don't want to hear nothing about that. The God of wrath, oh, preacher, that's taboo now. Don't you make the whole nation mad to go preaching the God of wrath. They just don't believe a God of peace and love and comfort that we preach about to cast anybody into a bottomless pit. A fiery place that never goes out. Fire never be quenched. And the soul that goes there, folks, never dies either. Oh, how sad to face the judgment without the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us remember, ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and with God and without God in this world. Have we ever seen ourselves like that? Have we ever seen ourselves? The Apostle Paul said, now listen, y'all Gentiles, and there may be some Jews in there. That's good. That's good. But us Gentiles, folks, at one time, God says, we had no hope. God says we were alienated from any of God's people, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers, folks. Strangers in the eyes of God. And without God in this world. Now knowing what you know now as a child of God, knowing what you know now, would you want to be told that you were without hope in this world? That you were without God in this world? What would you think about that? Well, that's what we once, that's the standing we once had, folks, in the eyes of God. We had no hope. You say, well, now there was hope in the prophecies, you know, Isaiah and all of those. There's hope. Yes, there is, folks. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing there was, because in God's time, folks, He sent Peter to preach to the Gentiles. He sent Paul to preach to the Gentiles. Well, the Jews were all upset. People were upset. I love it when people are saved by God's grace. People were upset. Boy, them Jews, they were jealous. They were jealous. God didn't even give them the word. He gave us the word. God gave His word to these people, folks. He gave His word to His people, Israel. But in that word, folks, there was a little ray of hope. There was going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. Boy, that's us. That's me. Be a light to lighten the Gentiles. That means, folks, awake me from the darkness that I was in. Awake me to the things that I just couldn't see. See, before I was saved, I never had any use for God. I never had any use for Christ. I didn't know what it meant to repent of my sin because I didn't think I had any. I was saved as a teenager. I didn't think I had any. I was just a young, and I lived long enough to do a whole lot of stuff wrong to be cast into hell like people say. But I'll tell you, folks, that when He made that real, I never had the guts to say that again. When that Holy Spirit, folks, as Brother Galloway's preaching that message, Brother George Galloway, many years ago, as he preached that message that day, and good gospel message, I remember it, Sunday morning. He preached it. I was lost. I don't know if there was ever a message meant more for me than that one that day. He preached that I was lost, and I'd heard the gospel. You know, I'd been going to church up to then just about every time the doors were open, and I never heard the gospel. I never thought that it meant me, but it did. It did. That gospel brought another old dead thing to life. A person one time was without hope, folks, but now I have hope with God in this world. Now I have a peace and a comfort no matter what happens. And for one, we haven't seen anything yet, folks. So our hope needs to be in God. He called us, saved us by His grace. He used us to His glory and honor. He forgave our sins. He calls us His own. He put us in the church that we might serve Him in spirit and in truth. I don't know how long the church has been here. How long the church has been here? Do you have any idea of how many years? Folks, look, this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is holy ground. This is the place, just like Moses, when he went to the burning bush and he saw that thing and it just was, that fire and flame was in there and it just wasn't consumed. Well, that was a special bush. Believe me, it was. It was a special meeting place, folks. God called Moses to that place. And God says, Moses, take your shoes off. Where you're standing is holy ground. And folks, I believe as soon as we hit the Lord's property here, we need to consider ourselves being on holy ground. Some way, somehow, God says where two or three are gathered together in the midst, or in gathered together in my name, He said, there am I in their midst. I don't know. I don't see Him, but I sure can feel Him, folks. I don't know how He says, I'm going to meet with them when just two or three of you get together. He said, I'm in your midst. Some way, somehow, folks, God is with us in a special way, more so than He is when we leave this building. He's with us in fellowship, one with another. He's with us in mission. He's with us, folks, in His Word. We really do need to take those things serious. He's called us. Don't leave your first love. Don't leave your first love. And there's churches all over the land, folks. As hard as it is to say, there's churches all over the land that are closing their doors and locking their doors and everything else. Nobody comes anymore. That's really a sad thing. Does that mean the devil's won? It means he has in the hearts of a lot of God's people when they want to quit and give up. Don't want to go on. Don't want to do any suffering. We like the love and the tenderness and the care. But you know the suffering part? We're not too much with the suffering part. We're not in that alone either. We're not in that alone at all. God is with His people in all things. Our Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank You that this church has asked us to come and bring a message for them. Lord, we pray You would be with us in the service after. Father, might Your heart find lodging in hearts this day. And Father, as the gospel is presented and it's been preached, Lord, might You cause those that are lost, if they be in this building today, saved by Your grace, or those that might hear it later on, on the airways, Lord, might You use it as You see fit. We thank You for Your grace, mercy, Your Son Jesus. Thank You, Father, for Your love most of all. And Lord, we pray for this church. We ask, Lord, that You would have Your way and will in everything that has to be done here in this place. Forgive my sin and my failures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.